you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This is the Bill Press Show.
It is the Bill Press Show. Thank you so much for subscribing to our podcast. You know, we have a very, very popular podcast. All I got to do is just look for us on iTunes, look for the Bill Press Show. And we talk about a number of things. One of the things we talk about often on the show is how the political grounds are so fertile right now for new people, new voices, to get involved in politics. And I am very, very happy to be speaking with someone who did just that. Her name is Leslie Lopez. She was on the ballot for Maryland's House of Delegates in the 39th District, and she joins me on the phone right now. Leslie, hello there. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing great. I'm now, doing so much better than I was 3 days ago when I still had an election ahead of me.
We should point out that we have a little bit of a past. I've known Leslie for a long, long time. It was, God, what, like 12 years ago that we were working together in a very, very cramped producer's booth here on the Bill Press Show.
It was tiny,
and the air conditioning was not great, and we got to know each other very, very well in that cramped space, Leslie.
Yeah, lots of smells, not a lot of air circulation, early mornings, coffee breath, all those things.
All the time. So I want to talk to you a little bit about, like, you know, you and I have kept up over the years, obviously, and I follow you on social media, and all of a sudden, not that long ago, I saw you become, I mean, you've always been politically active, but you entered yourself into politics. You got into politics.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you, why? Why now? Why was it, what was it that sort of launched you into this world?
Sure. Well, you know, we've all talked about, like, the year of the woman. This is what I'm calling my personal, like, year of the YOLO. And it's just, like, do it. There is an open seat. So the winds of change were shifting. But more than that, you know, I've been a volunteer. I've been a staffer for so many years on issues that I've been passionate about. And one of the expressions that I learned along the way that has always just stuck in my head, it's that if you don't have a seat at the table, you're on the menu.
Yeah.
And that is so true. And if 2016 taught us anything, it's that if you are a woman, if you are a person of color, if you are a ethnic or religious minority, if you have a disability, I mean, you're on the menu. And when I moved to Maryland and started to get involved, you know, like moving out to the burbs, starting a family, settling down, I thought, oh, you know, I'm just going to volunteer for my local party, be a precinct chair, serve on, you know, the board for NAROL and the board of social services. And through that process, I became aware of this law that had been very contentious. It basically said that rapists had a claim to paternal rights over a child that had been conceived in assault.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's some shit right there.
I mean, that's horrifying. That's horrifying.
Just peel back the layers of the onion on that. And apparently the law was put in place mostly for minors, which makes it even more horrible.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what, in a state that is as progressive as Maryland, if this is where we're at, why not? Why not go for it? I'm smart. I'm ready. I'm strategic. The stuff I don't know, I can figure out who I can ask along the way. And like a true lifetime Girl Scout that I am, I just plan things out. And I went to a training with an organization called Emerge, which I would totally recommend anyone who's interested. Well, you have to be a woman and a Democrat, but if you fit those qualifications, go to Emerge, go through the program, and you'll learn all the things that that you need to learn.
I think, by the way,
did the work.
I think that's a really, really important message, because I think that we have done such a poor job in this country where we have deified politicians. And, you know, we look at these things like, oh, this politician deserves your vote. You've got to go vote for this politician because you have to. It's the right thing to do. And it's a good reminder that, like, no, the politicians work for us. That's the whole point.
True.
And also to your point of, like, you didn't necessarily know how to get this done, but you were like, I'm going to go for it and I'll figure it out.
Yeah, it can't be that hard. I mean, you know, there's people who are not as smart as me that have been elected, and they're there, so why not?
I can't tell if that was a veiled swipe at the President of the United States or not. But
was not veiled at all.
Okay, all right, good.
That was like bolded, highlighted, covered in a neon sign. Yeah,
good.
No, I mean, we'll put it this way, like, you know, local races and local politicians are usually not like the shady, like egomaniacs that politicians with the capital P are made out to be, you know?
Yeah.
If you're working on like zoning and permit issues, like you really truly are a public servant. I think in addition to deifying politicians, we also kind of make that a dirty word, you know, like nobody wants to be a politician because it's up there with like the stereotype of being a used car salesman or something like that.
Right.
So, you know, it really just comes down to figuring out how to connect with your community and being a vessel for their feelings and thoughts and making sure that you're being proactive about them, just being compassionate and competent. And if you fit those qualifications, then just go for it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, it's so funny because there are so many different people that are just being described as political newcomers these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that absolutely applies to you in the best possible way. So how, I guess my question to you is, how do you plan to maneuver those waters? Because you are on the ballot in the general election, mm-hmm. moving forward. How do you plan on using that to your advantage of being a political newcomer?
Well, in my specific situation, I was not the establishment favorite. So I was supported by the incumbents in this district, but one of my opponents had really all the institutional establishment support. So none of my contributions came from special interests, no corporations, no PACs, anything like that. So I'm not really beholden to any institutional powers, just really my own conscience. So that's really freeing and liberating in a lot of ways. I don't owe anyone any favors.
Yeah.
I can just get out there and do what I need to do. And I think also I won in a way that was very pronounced, that showed people that I'm a legitimate candidate, that I got here on my own volition and through my own hard work. I typically, first-time candidates have about a 10% chance of winning, right? And that sounds so disheartening, right? But
particularly
because incumbents can raise so much more money, and they have name recognition to some extent. So with that kind of reality in my face, I still was the top vote earner in a 7-way candidate primary. And I was the only woman running, and all of my money came from personal contributions. So, I mean, if I can do it, you just got to hustle, hustle, hustle. You can do it too.
You are singing my song. That's so great. And I have to say, you know, because we've known each other and I know you on social media, nobody knocked on more doors than you did. I mean, you were out there constantly.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much probably like on average 3 or 4 days a week for a year. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, right? Like once you knock on a door and you meet someone, then you need to think of ways to follow up because you don't want them to forget you.
Yeah.
So everyone that I met and had a conversation with, and if it seemed positive, like if I met you and you closed the door in my face, and you know, that's, I'd mark that down as probably not. The people that I had good talks with, I put them on a list to do follow-up with. And I recruited a whole bunch of friends and family and former coworkers from across the country to write postcards to those people to explain why they should vote for me. So I did all my mail in myself and designed it myself with a friend who is a graphic designer. So that cut down on a lot of costs. And I just, you know, every week or so would mail out a package of postcards with a sample script and a bunch of addresses. And, you know, I would have friends who wanted to help but couldn't door knock do that for me. So, you know, you just have to have an operation and a system and be very disciplined in executing that plan. But it's not impossible. It's just a lot of details that you have to wrangle.
Well, you know, one of the things that we learned as Democrats in the wake of the election of 2016 is that we cannot ignore local elections anymore. And I think that Democrats did a pretty terrible job of that for years. And I think that now we are starting to see the light that, oh, crap, it's really, really important to get involved in these local elections,
yeah,
not just as voters, but as contributors, as candidates, mm-hmm, as all of these different things. So when I ask you this question, I do realize politics are extremely local, but talk a little bit about messaging and how you develop your message and how you make it fit to where you're running.
Gotcha. Yeah. So one of the most interesting things about District 39 in Maryland is that it's a very north part of Montgomery County. And it goes back year to year, but it's either the first or the second most ethnically diverse district in America. So I think that's really cool. There are 120 languages spoken here. It's really just like a mecca of every ethnic restaurant you could possibly imagine. It's fabulous. If you ever want to try some different food, come up to District 39.
By the way, your district is literally right next to mine. When I saw you out campaigning, I was thinking, like, oh my God, mm-hmm, maybe she's going to come to my door. But you're not quite in my district, but I know the district very,
yeah,
very well. I think you're probably in
15, right?
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Gotcha. And this is something that, like, only someone in my position be like, oh yeah, you're in 15, you're in 17, blah, blah, blah. Like, no one gives a rat about any of that.
Right.
But, so in an area that's as diverse as mine, you might think like, oh, this is such a challenge to come up with a message because there's so many different perspectives and so many different, cultures and thoughts about problems and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is people want to be safe. People want their kids to be safe and they want their lives to be reasonably comfortable,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So in our area, that means making sure that schools are funded appropriately. And right now in our state, we have a $3 billion shortfall in educational funding. We have a huge infrastructure traffic problem. I mean, that I could talk to you about for 500 hours. we're also, because we're a mixture of like exurbs and countryside, there's environmental issues. So anytime we work on infrastructure or anything along those lines, you know, there's a lot of environmentalists who really want to make sure that we're preserving our natural heritage. So in that way, the more you knock on doors and the more you talk to people, the more you get a sense of the nuances of the things that they care about. But in terms of the operational part of messaging, I think that every candidate intrinsically has their own set of values. Like, what are the things that you deeply care about? What are the things that shape your worldview? And then think about the experiences in your life that help show those values and make that a part of how you describe yourself and how you try to connect with voters. Just, you know, have those stories in your back pocket as you do,
yeah,
just living your life and listen to people probably more than you talk.
That is Leslie Lopez. She is going to be on the ballot for District 39 in Maryland. Just one of the many voices from local politicians, hyper-local politicians. You've come a long way, sister. I'm very, very proud of you. And give them hell.
Yeah. I'll keep doing it. I'll buy new tennis shoes, though.
Yeah, get new tennis shoes. If you want to help out Leslie, if you want to contribute, if you want to learn more about her story, it's lopezformaryland.com. L-O-P-E-Z, lopezformaryland.com. You can learn more about Leslie. You can help her out, and you can get involved. Leslie, good luck. Please keep us posted, and we'll see you out there knocking on doors.
Thanks, Peter. Have a good day.
You too.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.